But first up, the truth about Daniel Andrews. A lot of Victorians are reeling after the passage of the Andrews government's change and suppression bill in Victoria, and I do not hesitate to say that this is the worst legislation of its kind in the entire world. There's nothing like this really anywhere else in the world, proposed or actually in place. A lot of people say, well, you know, these conversion therapy, as they're called, bills are elsewhere, but there's nothing quite like this. This bill was criticised by the Law Institute of Victoria, which is the peak body for legal professionals, by no means conservative, let me tell you. It was also criticised by the Australian Medical Association, the peak body for health professionals, and pretty much all faith groups. Some 400 senior church leaders put their names to public statements rejecting the law. But if there's one thing about Daniel Andrews, it is his capacity to change nothing for anybody, ever. He does what he does, and he does it with zeal. And he's gotten more and more emboldened in that over the years of his premiership. But when a man designs a law which is medically inappropriate according to the medical profession, legally inappropriate according to the legal profession, and singularly it seems targeted at imprisoning faith communities for such things as prayer, and it names prayer as one of the offences, or counselling their own children even to make them domestic abusers for doing that, or empowering bureaucrats in the Equal Opportunity Commission to police and control and re-educate faith communities. One's got to ask a question once and for all. After a number of years of this kind of stuff culminating in this law, what is it that is making Daniel Andrews tick? This is the worst attack on religious freedom, and indeed on certain kinds of people, as we'll get to, in a Western country in living memory. The only thing I can think of sitting back and racking my brains that came close would be the Scottish Named Persons Scheme, which some of you would be familiar with from a few years back, and that was ultimately struck down. And Daniel Andrews, I think he's made a feeble attempt at saying that he's a good Catholic, but actions speak louder than words, and we're going to go through his actions. This is his record. He is Australia's longest-serving major political leader. He's been in the job since the 4th of December 2014, and in 6 years, or just a tiny bit over that, he has done an awful lot. I'm going to go through some policy lowlights, not highlights, lowlights, if you like, in categories: LGBTIQ stuff, life issues, education, which is a big one for him, something on religious freedom, something on his public comments about Christianity, and just give you a picture of the man. On LGBTIQ issues, and I'm going to go from what would probably be broadly considered least controversial to most controversial. So let's start with the low-level stuff in the eyes of much of the nation. In LGBTIQ, he was the government that created the nation's first equality minister. There is a minister in his government with that portfolio, and that portfolio is housed within, and he made a big point of this, within the Premier, within the Department of Premier and Cabinet. There's also a Gender and Sexuality Commissioner as part of that portfolio, and this person is a full-time advocate for LGBTIQ plus issues within the government, right across the scope of government, and has the ear of the Premier himself. That's how a lot of these laws have come through. In 2015, the first year of his government, same-sex adoption was legalised so that a child can be placed in a motherless or a fatherless home. Now, I have absolutely no hesitation in saying that it's wrong. Absolutely wrong. There are all sorts of imperfect circumstances that can unfortunately lead to a child not having a mother or a father, but where you're trying to place a child in the best possible circumstances, it is wrong to deny them a mother and father by design. It is wrong. Initially, there were no exemptions in that law for faith institutions, like, say, the Catholic Church Adoption Agency, to ensure that children could go to mother and father homes. There was no provision for that. But through advocacy, some of those exemptions were put back in. And that sort of victory is something you only really see from the first year of his premiership. He gets more bold, and there's very little of that that comes later. In 2015 as well, his first year, he was the first premier ever to walk in a pride march. He led the Melbourne Pride March, and he hasn't missed one since. And now in 2021, he's promised Melbourne Pride to become one of the largest LGBTQ events that there is. It's sort of supposed to be a globally significant celebration with lots and lots of events and so forth. So he's huge on the celebration of Pride issues. In 2017, he opposed same-sex marriage, the vote on same-sex marriage, I should say, because he said that the vote would unleash hate and bigotry. So that's what he thinks of those who oppose same-sex marriage or did oppose it at that time, that their views were hatred and bigotry. 2019, there was laws passed which said that a person can change their sex on their birth certificate whether or not they have had any medical treatment, and a child's sex can be altered on their birth certificate at will. In other words, this is a historical document that says you were born a man or you were born a woman, now you can change it as you like. I can become a woman in a moment of time and I can change my birth certificate and the whole world has to acknowledge it. And that kind of gender ideology is everywhere in the government. In 2020, a discussion paper was released on a whole of government LGBTIQ strategy. So they're very, very clear about the fact they want this to shape every part of what they're doing. 2021, there is a Pride Centre to be opened in St Kilda. It was a $15 million commitment of the government. And this is a government space in which to host LGBT advocacy. Also in 2021, as I've just said, we had these conversion therapy laws. He can say what he wants about them. This is what he does say, in fact. He said, some faith leaders have been critical of these provisions. When he says some, he means nearly all of them. Some faith leaders have been critical of these provisions, critical of a law to ban the worst form of bigoted quackery imaginable. This is not kindness and love or the protection of a vulnerable and persecuted group. This is not something to be proud of. This is not what I pray for. Victoria is a secular state. If equality is difficult for you, then that's on you. Okay, he says equality. He says this is bigoted quackery. He can say what he wants. The fact is that this law does things like, if a parent prayed for their own child with their child's request in relation to, say, gender dysphoria or sexual attraction, then that parent is committing a criminal offence and that parent also is likely to become a domestic violence abuser. That's what the law actually does. Okay, so he can say what he wants, or indeed a medical practitioner who doesn't give an affirming medical treatment is on thin ice, or a pastor who prays for someone with their request. It governs the content of prayers. And it doesn't matter whether the person requests it or not, banned, potentially criminal. Or indeed a whole class of Victorians who, if they were not, say, people of faith, they would call themselves members of the LGBTQ community. But they are people of faith. They want to be people of faith first. These kinds of people tend to get together and talk about this stuff. They tend to create their own support groups and things like that. Nope, all criminal. And indeed, if someone like me were to dare to refer someone to one of these groups or whatever, criminal. It just erases that category of person. And, you know, the media won't tell you and the government won't tell you, but there's quite a lot of them. Gender equality strategy is something that they have released more recently. They've got a government gender equality strategy, it is a bit of a Marxist creed. I've just made some notes here on that. It is that it attacks the fact that women do more domestic work than men. And you see this a lot, by the way. There is a pretty serious undermining of the fact that Victorians might make their families the centre of their existence. You see that a lot in the government policy. There was a thing where the government is committed, for example, to make sure that all court appointments and all paid board appointments and all government ministerial appointments are at least 50% women. And look, if family life is flourishing and healthy and it's the centre of Victorian people's lives, you actually won't get as many women in the higher echelons of the workforce. That's the way it naturally works, because women have babies. And if family life is to be championed, then you won't get that same level of obsession about 50-50 per se. But of course, there is an undermining of all of that stuff through the Andrews government. It bangs on about colonialism, this gender equality strategy, which is sort of Marxist terminology for a systemically oppressive society, which is the West. It bangs on about trans and gender diverse empowerment. It talks about, it attacks gendered clothing and all gender stereotypes, and it's very pro-abortion. The government has flown rainbow flags over government buildings on quite a number of occasions. I've got the list there, but I won't go through them. And here are some comments on Pride from Mr. Andrews himself. He said, Pride is not a cold acceptance. It's a celebration. And we see that. Now it's got to the point where if you don't celebrate, if you just accept or tolerate, if you don't celebrate actively and affirm to, you know, the nth degree, then you're in a situation where you're potentially going to be end up being charged with a criminal offence or at least subjected to some kind of investigation by a bureaucracy or even the police force. That's what the Change and Suppression Bill does. So that's what he's after. And he says, if you're a member of the LGBTI community and there's someone in your life that you love, a partner or a friend, then do me a favour. Next time you're on a tram in Melbourne, hold their hand. Do it with pride and defiance because you have that freedom. And here in the progressive capital, I think I can think of nothing more Victorian than that. Now, he will never say something like that to a person of faith. Never. To go out there and actually live out what you believe. No, this is not about equality. It's not about the same for everyone. It's not about tolerating everybody. This is about pride at the expense of everybody else. That's what he's about. That is the whole of government agenda. They have their own minister for it. All right, what about on life? And I think this is far more, this is, well, I don't know, this is serious as well. In 2008, Daniel Andrews was actually the health minister in the state of Victoria, and that's when abortion to birth was legislated. And I mean that, abortion up to and including the point of birth. Victoria led the nation in this respect, and Andrews played a major role in getting the legislation passed. And he voted against all of the amendments that were put up against that legislation. And here are some of the amendments. Just hang on to your hats for a second. There was an amendment put up to require pain relief to be administered to a fetus that can feel the pain of being dismembered in an abortion. And fetuses beyond a certain gestation can, late term especially. He voted against that. And now, just to see what's going on, each year there's several hundred late term abortions in the state of Victoria. None of those children receive pain relief, even though they feel it. In 2015, for example, 310 late term terminations took place. That was a typical year. He also voted against an amendment that would have ensured that children who are born alive, as a result of abortion, which happens from time to time, must be rendered medical care. He voted against that. And now, for example, of the 310 late-term abortions in 2015, 33 of them were born alive. And what happened? They were left to die slowly, alone in Victorian hospitals. This is something which happens right across the country in all states, and where states have legalised late-term abortion, there's far more of it. It's barbarous, it's disgusting. And Andrews voted against a protection for those children who are dying every year by the dozens. He voted against a ban on partial birth abortion, which is the practice of literally delivering the baby to the neck so that its head doesn't come out, and then murdering it. He voted against an amendment to ensure that there would be mandatory reporting of suspected child abuse victims when they came into an abortion clinic. And that happens, anecdotal evidence says that happens quite a lot. He voted against an amendment that would have required the provision of information on the health risks of abortion. He voted against an amendment that would have offered women impartial decision-making counselling. He voted against an amendment that would have required the notification of the custodial parent of a child who is seeking an abortion. This is all pretty serious stuff. And he said afterwards, "I'm not a Catholic health minister, I'm a Victorian health minister." So in other words, he doesn't believe that his faith has real application in the public realm, which is strange for anyone who has faith. 2015, his government was involved in the legislation of what they called safe access zones. What that included was a 100-metre buffer being created around all termination clinics, abortion clinics, where communication on the subject of abortion in a way that could be seen or heard was banned, criminal offence. Now, the government did that with all sorts of rhetoric about women being harassed, etc. That was never happening. And indeed, if a woman was being harassed or obstructed or anything like that was going on, the Victorian police had all the power they needed to deal with that. That was never a problem. But what was happening was that there was people, like a group called the Helpers, who stood near abortion clinics in Victoria and made simple offers of help, usually by passing just a piece of paper to women who were approaching the clinics to say, "We can help you." Those people, those wonderful people, had been responsible for seeing more than 300 babies born alive who otherwise would have been terminated in those clinics over the course of their ministry. And now, one of the ladies who was a part of that ministry, Kathy Club, she is now a convicted criminal because she handed a piece of paper to a couple who were approaching a clinic. She's a convicted criminal because of her legacy of work of saving 300 lives. Now that is an outrage. And the Premier knew that. They received a submission from these helpers with photographs of all the children, many of the children that had been born, stories from their mothers, thank you letters and all sorts. They read them, and some of these kids sat in the gallery while this bill was being debated, and they passed the bill anyway. They knew exactly what they were doing. Unbelievable barbarism. It just makes me angry. 2017, Victoria became the first state in Australia, unless you count Northern Territory back in 1994 very briefly, but 1997, was it? Anyway, whenever it was, unless you count the brief episode in the Northern Territory. In 2017, the first state to legalise euthanasia and to currently have euthanasia in Australia. Andrews gave the Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, a big hug when that passed. Now, if you want to know what's wrong with euthanasia, go and look up euthanasia on our YouTube channel and you'll see my videos on the subject. It's all there. This is a big one, education. So the Andrews government in 2015 was responsible for removing special religious instruction from schools. They took it out of class time and they said that if you want to do it, you have to do it after school and for no more than 30 minutes. At the same time, they made respectful relationships compulsory in Victorian schools. And respectful relationships is sort of a safe schools in round two, but it's more sophisticated and it includes a very Marxist idea of gender roles, very anti-family stuff, and a lot of dodgy stuff like the Safe Schools program had. It's all now embedded into the Victorian school curriculum. One provider of special religious instruction reported that in the year before the ban, for their classes, 27,000 students attended. In the year after the ban, only 1,000 students attended. huge, huge impact on Christianity in the state. Also, regarding safe schools, which I just mentioned, the safe schools program, which most of you will know about, was funded and established by the Victorian government in 2010. Grossly inappropriate material was revealed in 2016, and it made national headlines. For example, kids were told to wear the uniform of their choice, and those big posters with kids in the opposite sex's uniform, and also told how to become political activists. Also, online resources connected with the program actually joined kids up with pornographic websites, adult shops, swingers clubs, several alternative adult online communities, organizations that hosted hands-on workshops in all things sexual. And I don't even want to say what a lot of this stuff is, because it's absolutely off the deep end disgusting. And then they also, these resources instructed kids on things like hiding their browsing history, how to go about getting those websites accessible at their schools. There was advice on being trans, on chest binding and worse, on things to do with male genitals and all the rest of it to be a trans person. Explicit advice on alternative kinds of sexual activity to children and so on. So what happened was that the federal government announced that they were going to review the material. They were going to do a review. Daniel Andrews immediately jumped on and backed it. And he said this: well, the bad news is that the Liberals are still on the warpath about safe schools, a brilliantly effective program designed to stamp out bullying, not pile it on. But there is some good news. If the Turnbull government decides to cut the funding for this program, I'm proud to announce that the Victorian government will make up the shortfall. We'll lock that funding in at the state level, because if it saves one life, it's worth it. Safe schools is officially saved in Victoria. He goes on to say, I get my policy advice from experts, not bigots. So apparently the people pointing all this out were just bigots, and the parents who would be concerned about this were just bigots. And also he sits there and raves on about how that he's going to save the funding for this thing. I'm sitting there going, right, so they're exposed for being quite perverted, and what you're going to do is pay them for it. Well, that was his approach. In 2015, guidelines were issued to Victorian schools which banned children from singing traditional Christmas carols that, quote, glorified God. Students were not to sing any praise music that included praise of God, and principals were to ensure that carols which welcomed the birth of Christ were not sung, including Silent Night, O Come All Ye Faithful, Away in a Manger, and We Three Kings. And elsewhere in the advice there was the mention of Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Once in Royal David City. Now, Andrews came out and made this blisteringly strong statement, as he always does, that we have not banned Christmas, we have not banned Christmas carols, but he did not address the more particular point, which is, no, you haven't banned Christmas carols, but you have banned Christmas carols that amount to, quote, hymns that glorify God. And that was the actual report that was in the Age newspaper, which is a left-wing newspaper, and he did not address that. That was a government advice issued to schools. He's also responsible for the Doctors in Schools program, which means that I think 100 schools in the state of high schools in the state of Victoria are visited by GPs, and students can go and get health advice and health care from these GPs, and the GPs get to decide whether or not they tell the child's parent about what's going on. Now, you can imagine, so here you are putting a health professional in the child's way, in an environment where the parent has no hope of finding out about it, and there's issues like abortion, there's issues like STIs, there's issues like gender dysphoria, which is humongous now, and kids are going down to the clinics, 1,500% increases in Victorian gender clinics, and kids going down with confusion. Parents may never find out about it. They may never find out about it. The GP just has to say, I think this kid's a mature minor. End of story. In 2019, school chaplaincy requirements were changed in the state of Victoria, so they no longer have to be Christians. They can be people with no faith or people with any faith. In 2016, there was a religious freedom effort. There was a change to religious freedom laws in Victoria. It was called the Inherent Requirements Bill. And what this did was it amended the Equal Opportunity Act to say that religious institutions cannot any longer hire staff that will support their ethos exclusively. And they're saying, oh, that's to improve, you know, diversity and equality and all the rest of it. But of course, they were never going to change the rules around, say, political organisations. So, for example, Daniel Andrews' own political party, the Labour Party, they were never going to say, oh, well, you know, we're going to make sure that the political parties can't hire people who share their ethos. They're never going to make sure that the LGBT Pride Centre can't hire people that share their ethos. They're never going to make sure that the LGBT Health Clinic can't hire people that share their ethos. Now, only the religious groups was targeted in that way. And that bill, actually, amazingly, but this shows their attitude to religious freedom. And yet, because it was 2016, I mentioned there were a couple of pushbacks then, it actually failed. And Daniel Andrews wasn't happy about it. This quote came out. He said, the Andrews government is bitterly disappointed by the Liberal National Coalition's decision to oppose a key equality bill, which would have improved the lives of thousands of Victorians. I mean, just anti-religious freedom. States don't have a whole lot of power over that stuff, but that is one example of where they did. I want to make this closing comment, this closing example before I finish up, and that is that the thing that really ticked me off lately was his attitude to Margaret Court. Now, you don't have to agree with Margaret Court. I happen to. I think she's been dreadfully misrepresented, and they always pick grumpy photos of her for the media and all the rest of it. But she's a lady who believes what most Christians in this country believe, that marriage is between a man and a woman, that there are boys and girls, and they get married and have families, and that's a good thing, that kind of stuff. Ooh, bigotry. But she was to receive Australia Day honours, and indeed she did. And Daniel Andrews was asked about it, and he said this: I don't want to give this person's disgraceful, bigoted views any oxygen. Notice he can't even mention her by name. Twice he called her this person, once on his Twitter, once in the press conference. He said, but when others insist on rewarding them with this country's highest honour, I think it's worth saying again, Grand Slam wins don't give you some right to spew hatred and create division. Nothing does. Well, and here he is, treating her with such disdain. It's effectively bullying a 70-year-old woman to his hundreds of thousands of Twitter supporters. So, way to go. What a guy. And here he is just expressing his complete disdain and saying that she's the bigot. This kind of view is the evil thing, and that's what his whole government has tried to say for years now. And yet this is a man who passes a law which criminalises parents who pray for their children. He can say that law's for whatever he wants to say, but it doesn't change the fact it criminalises parents who pray for their own children. It's the man who votes against an amendment to require medical care to be given to babies who are born alive. So now dozens of babies are born alive in Victorian hospitals and gasp for breath until they die. He's a man who hears that Safe Schools is sending kids to swinger clubs and X-rated adult sites, and then he offers to pay them. The man whose government bans songs which glorify God after showing special religious instruction the back door and chucking it out of schools. The man who passed a law knowing it would make a mother of 13 into a criminal for helping women outside termination clinics and saving 300 lives. The man who changed adoption so that children can be placed with motherless and fatherless homes. The man who would see religious groups stripped of their right to be religious, but maintain his own political group's right to be political. The man whose government gives masses of funding to advocacy groups and clinics, which have seen well over 1,000% increases in children presenting for gender dysphoria in the last few years. Someone tell them the problem didn't exist until they started putting the idea into kids' heads. And these are irreversible therapies and treatments. You know, kids that can't choose their own bedtime, for heaven's sake, are going and getting gender dysphoria treatment and being affirmed in the opposite sex because what they say is best. Nobody in this country is responsible for a more radical and aggressive social engineering agenda than Daniel Andrews. And I want to say to Victorians, please wake up. Please, I know a lot of you have, but some of you haven't. And I haven't even covered the crazy response to COVID, for example, the fact that you're all down there in masks and the rest of the country isn't. I haven't covered the relationship to China. I haven't done any of that. I've just talked about these faith positions primarily. But I hope that at least some of those of you who are people of faith or who are sympathetic to people of faith can see this much. Daniel Andrews despises what you believe. And he has a passion against it that has now driven him for years. And he's getting worse, not better. He's getting bolder, not weaker. November 2022 is the next chance to vote this man out. And you must. That's the truth about Daniel Andrews and his anti-faith agenda.